Imagine signing a contract today, right? And then 3 years from now, you are forced to pay $27,000 just to walk away from it.
Yeah, that is a nightmare scenario.
It really is. And all of that liability stems from like three little words buried on page 12 of a document you probably barely skim.
Exactly. People just gloss right over it.
Right. So today we are talking about merchant processing contracts. Welcome to the deep dive. Think of this as sort of a working session right here at My Pay Advisor.
Glad to be here.
I will be acting as your analyst co-host today, and joining me is our senior payments advisor. Our goal here is to really cut through the noise with, well, operator confidence.
Yeah, we are talking hard numbers and real mechanics today, not just marketing fluff.
Exactly. That is the only way to approach this space. I mean, you really have to strip away the sales pitch and look at the actual plumbing of the agreement.
Because the plumbing is where the money leaks out.
So true. If you are listening to this, you are likely a U.S. merchant processing anywhere between $25,000 and maybe $5 million in monthly card volume.
Right, so you already know the basics of how money moves.
Yeah, you know the basics. Today, we are covering the 12 questions you really must ask before signing a processor contract. And we need to anchor this discussion to current 2026 realities.
Which are shifting pretty rapidly.
They really are. We were actually just looking at some data from the Nilson report, and they noted that card volume is rising, largely thanks to a massive digital boost.
The volume is definitely there, yeah. But the costs, I mean, they remain a very strict calculation.
Right.
The networks are constantly pushing for wider acceptance, but at the end of the day, operators are the ones footing the bill.
Exactly. Just to set a baseline for you, the effective interchange rate to keep in mind right now is roughly 1.75% for card-present restaurant volume.
That is a good benchmark.
Yeah. And for card-present retail, it is about 1.85%.
Right, slightly higher.
And then if you are running card not present, say like a direct-to-consumer skincare brand, you are looking at up to 2.05%.
Right. And keep in mind, that is just the baseline cost. The processor markup sits on top of that.
Yeah, that is the foundation. And that brings us to the mission for this session. We are going to decode these 3 to 5 year auto-renewing contracts.
Which is so critical. We are specifically looking at the documents that salespeople, you know, they pitch verbally, but they rarely put in writing accurately.
Yeah, so before we get into the granular pricing models, we really have to look at why that verbal pitch you hear on the phone means literally nothing.
It's basically just air.
Pretty much. We do not need to rehash the basic definitions of acquiring and issuing banks. I mean, you know who Visa is.
Right. Everyone knows Visa.
But we need to talk about the hidden mechanics. The Federal Reserve actually documents the structure of these U.S. card payment flows, including all the clearing and settlement rules that operators just never see.
And those mechanics dictate everything about your costs. Let us look at it based on Visa rules, for instance.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Visa uses interchange reimbursement fees to, well, essentially balance the entire payment system.
Right.
As a merchant, you do not pay interchange directly to Visa. You pay a merchant discount to your financial institution.
Got it.
Then your acquirer pays the interchange to the issuing bank. The mechanism here is what really matters.
Why is that mechanism so important?
Because those base interchange rates and the brand assessments, they are strictly non-negotiable.
Wait, non-negotiable at all?
Exactly. No matter who you process with, those base costs are identical. The processor markup is really the only negotiable item in the entire agreement.
Okay, this is where operators get tripped up. It is kind of like buying a used car.
Yeah, that is a great comparison.
The salesperson gives you a verbal rate to just get you in the door, right? They tell you they can get you processing for 1.49%.
Which sounds amazing on a phone call.
Exactly. But that sales rep will probably rotate out of their job in like 18 months. The contract you sign stays for 3 to 5 years.
Right. And the written document is the only thing the processor has to honor.
What is fascinating here is how the paperwork actually functions.
Yeah, a rate sheet only shows a percentage. It does not define how that percentage is applied to your daily transactions.
Right, the fine print matters.
The contract dictates the rules of engagement. It defines the specific mechanism of how they extract that markup.
So if the markup is the only negotiable part of the equation, how the processor structures that markup will dictate your bottom line.
100%.
There are really three pricing models that cover almost every U.S. contract. You have flat rate, tiered, and interchange plus.
Let us break down how these actually work in practice. A flat rate model is what you see with, say, Stripe or Square.
Right, the really simple ones.
Exactly. One published rate covers nearly all card types. The processor pays the raw interchange behind the scenes, and their markup is just whatever happens to be left over.
Makes sense.
Then you have the tiered model. This is where things get really tricky. The processor groups hundreds of different card types into 3 to 6 broad buckets.
And they usually call them qualified, mid-qualified, and non-qualified, right?
Yes. They charge a single percentage per bucket.
Okay.
Finally, there is Interchange Plus. Here, you pay the exact raw interchange rate plus a fixed markup.
And that markup is usually expressed as like basis points plus a per transaction fee.
Exactly right.
We need to put some hard numbers to this so you can really see the impact. Let us take that real-world example of the direct-to-consumer skincare brand we mentioned earlier.
Okay, let's run the math.
Say they have $180,000 in monthly card volume. Their average ticket is $68, which means they were running about 2,647 transactions a month.
Right. So let us say they are on a flat rate plan with Stripe at 2.9% plus 30 cents per transaction.
The math on that is pretty straightforward. 2.9% of $180,000 is $5,220.
And then the 30-cent fee on those transactions, that adds another $794.
Right. So that brings their total monthly cost to $6,014. Their effective rate is 3.34%.
Which is pretty high.
It is. Now, imagine a regional independent sales organization, or an ISO, calls them up. The sales rep pitches that magical 1.49% rate.
Oh, the classic pitch.
Right. It sounds like an amazing deal. But they hide it in a tiered model. The contract names a qualified rate of 1.49%, but buried in the fine print is a mid-qualified surcharge of 0.85%.
And usually a non-qualified surcharge of around 1.40%.
Exactly. And this is the exact mechanism of the silent downgrade.
Yes. And for a direct-to-consumer skincare brand, they see a lot of premium rewards cards.
Oh, totally.
Customers use their Chase Sapphire or Capital One Venture cards. So the merchant's actual card mix is roughly, say, 25% basic cards that actually get that 1.49% qualified rate.
Okay, only a quarter of their volume.
Right. But 30% are standard rewards cards, which get downgraded to mid-qualified. And a massive 45% are premium rewards or corporate cards.
And those get downgraded to the really expensive non-qualified bucket.
Exactly.
Think of tiered pricing like a rigged carnival game.
Oh, that is a perfect way to describe it.
The processor sets up these three hoops you have to throw your transactions into. They make the 1.49% hoop look really big on the brochure.
Right, to draw you in.
But in reality, they secretly shrink that hoop so all your premium rewards transactions bounce out and fall into the incredibly expensive non-qualified bucket.
And the worst part is, the merchant cannot even see which category each transaction landed in on their statement. It is totally opaque.
That is just wild. So instead of paying the promised 1.49%, their effective rate balloons to 2.46%.
Let us run those numbers again.
Yeah, let's do it.
2.46% of $180,000 is $4,428. The ISO pitched a 15-cent transaction fee, which adds $397.
So the total cost is $4,825 a month.
Right. Yes, they are saving money compared to the Stripe flat rate, but they are bleeding almost $1,000 every single month in invisible surcharges.
That is just brutal. Now, price that exact same volume on a properly built Interchange Plus contract at, say, 0.20% plus 8 cents.
Okay, let's see the difference there.
For operators running the numbers, 20 basis points is literally just 0.2 of a penny on the dollar. As we anchored earlier, the baseline effective interchange for card-not-present skincare volume is roughly 2.05%.
Right.
So we add the 0.20% processor markup and the 0.14% brands assessments.
That brings the effective rate down to 2.39%.
Exactly.
So 2.39% of $180,000 is $4,302. The 8-cent fee adds $212. The total cost drops to $4,514 a month.
That is an $18,000 annual savings versus the flat rate model. And a $3,732 annual savings versus that sneaky tiered offer.
That is real money hitting the bottom line.
Definitely. But here is the critical takeaway. The gap is visible on your bank statement, but never in the contract itself.
Right. Most operators on tiered pricing run 60 to 75 basis points above what their exact same card mix actually costs on an Interchange Plus structure.
And that requires you to be highly vigilant during the negotiation phase.
You really do. If a sales rep promises a low rate on the phone, but refuses to explicitly write down the pricing model in the proposed agreement, you have your answer.
So how do you actually force their hand?
The contract must explicitly name the model. If you ask them to write the words interchange plus into the document, and the salesperson resists or, uses vague phrases like competitive market rates.
Oh, I have heard that one.
Right. They're putting you on a tiered plan. You will lose money to silent downgrades. You have to get the literal words interchange plus written into the agreement, or you just walk away.
Walk away entirely. Okay, so you fix your pricing model, but then they get you on the exit strategy.
Oh, yes. The exit terms.
Let us say the merchant realizes they are stuck in a bad tiered pricing plan. 6 months in, they see the downgrades, they do the math, and they decide to leave.
This is where the exit terms activate.
Exactly. Standard early termination fees are usually a flat $295 to $595. That is annoying, but it is just a cost of doing business.
It is pretty standard.
However, the boilerplate language often hides that massive trap we talked about at the top of the show. Liquidated damages.
This is without a doubt the single most expensive line in a processor contract.
Really the most expensive.
Oh, yeah. It converts a standard exit fee into tens of thousands of dollars of liability. Let's look at the operator math again.
Okay.
Suppose a merchant processes $250,000 a month at a 0.50% effective markup. That means the processor makes $1,250 a month in profit from that specific account.
Right. And if the merchant decides to break the contract with 22 months remaining on their 3-year term, the liquidated damages clause activates.
And the mechanism is just brutal.
It really is. It multiplies the remaining months by the average monthly fee. So 22 months times $1,250.
Which means the merchant suddenly owes $27,500.
Just to leave. And that is on top of the flat $595 exit fee.
It is a devastating hit to cash flow, and processors rely on operators missing it during the review process.
I am going to push back on you a bit here, though. Let us look at it from the processor's side.
Okay, let's hear it.
Is it not just standard business practice for a vendor to protect their expected profits? I mean, the processor laid out real operational costs.
Sure, they did.
They had to underwrite the account, perform background checks, and set up the gateway. And gateway is essentially the digital toll booth connecting the merchant's website to the processor.
Right.
So if a merchant breaks a 3-year commitment, shouldn't the processor be made whole for setting up that infrastructure?
Well, this raises an important question, and it really comes down to proportionality and transparency.
Okay.
Yes, vendors need protection. But setting up a digital gateway costs the processor almost nothing mechanically. It is just generating some API keys.
That is a fair point.
The issue is how processors bury this clause deep in the fine print. They call the section an early termination fee. They prominently list the $295 flat fee.
Right, so you think that is all it is.
Exactly. And then they slide the liquidated damages calculation into the very next paragraph. They use vague phrases like lost profits or average monthly fees.
It is intentionally designed to trap operators who, only scan the document for a dollar sign.
Precisely.
So what is the actual operator playbook rule for handling this?
You must strike the liquidated damages clause entirely, or at least cap it at a flat dollar figure during negotiations.
Like literally cross it out.
Literally cross it out on the document.
Mm.
Processors will almost always accept the red lines. Losing the deal before it even starts is much more expensive for them than conceding a penalty clause they hope to never use.
That makes total sense. But even if the rates are locked in on Interchange Plus and the exit penalty is capped at a flat fee, we still see processors building other revenue streams into the fine print.
Oh, they definitely do.
These are the silent siphons. Let us start with third-party equipment leases.
This is a big one.
I once saw a merchant pay nearly $4,000 for a basic plastic terminal that, it costs less than a fancy toaster. How does that happen mechanically?
It happens because the lease is a completely separate legal mechanism. A processor might send you a credit card terminal that retails for, say, $400.
Okay.
But the contract says you're leasing it for $79 a month for 48 months. That $400 piece of plastic ends up costing $3,792.
That is insane.
And the real trap is how the lease is structured to shield the processor.
Right, because the lease is almost always routed through a third-party entity. You will see names like First Corporate Solutions or Northern Leasing on the paperwork.
Exactly. They're legally separate from the processor.
which means if you cancel your processing contract because the gateway keeps crashing or the service is terrible, it does nothing to stop the lease payments.
Right. You still owe the third party for the hardware. The processing contract and the lease contract, they do not talk to each other at all.
So what should a merchant do?
You should reject any third-party lease longer than 12 months. Just buy the terminals outright for $150 to $400, or use a free placement program that is explicitly tied directly to the processing contract.
That is a great tip. Another massive silent siphon is stacked PCI fees.
Oh, yes.
Payment card industry compliance is mandatory. We all know that. But how processors charge for it is highly variable.
Very variable.
Operators often pay a $99 to $199 annual PCI fee, but then they also get hit with a monthly $19.95 to $39.95 non-compliance fee.
Yeah, they pay for compliance and non-compliance at the exact same time.
How does that even work?
Mechanically, they pay the annual fee for the processor's compliance program. But because no one from the processor actually walked the operator through filling out the mandatory self-assessment questionnaire.
Right, the SAQ.
Yes. The system automatically flags the account as non-compliant. So the processor's billing system just tacks on the monthly penalty fee.
Wow.
Many operators pay both fees for years without realizing the contradiction.
That is just extracting cash because the merchant is busy running their actual business.
Exactly.
And then there are rolling reserves. If you are in a high-risk category or have elevated chargeback ratios, the processor will hold back a percentage of your daily batches to cover potential losses.
Right, which is standard.
Yeah, but 10% rolling reserve on a $400,000 monthly volume holds back $40,000 a month. That is real cash missing from your operating account.
The holdback is a standard mechanism for risk mitigation, sure.
Yep.
The real problem is the release schedule.
Okay, tell me more about that.
If the fine print says the reserve may be released at the processor's discretion, the merchant has zero leverage. The processor can hold that money for 12 to 18 months after you terminate the agreement, just in case a late chargeback comes through.
So they are holding your cash to earn interest on it.
That is exactly what they are doing.
It is wild when you compare this to the strict transparency of the Visa network rules we talked about earlier.
It is a stark contrast.
For example, Visa requires merchants to give their acquirer a strict 30-day notice before they begin surcharging customers. It is documented, it is public, and there is a clear timeline.
Right.
But the processors themselves use these incredibly murky practices for their own fees. How can a merchant verify all these silent fees before they actually sign the bottom line?
You demand a sample statement before signing.
Really? They will provide that?
Yes. Tell the sales rep to generate a pro forma statement at your projected volume showing every single line item fee. PCI, gateway fees, statement fees, batch fees. Get it in writing.
And what about the reserves?
For the reserves, the release schedule must have a defined trigger written into the contract. It needs to clearly state the funds will be released after 12 months of clean processing, or when the chargeback ratio drops below 0.5%.
Never accept a clause that leaves your cash at the processor's discretion.
Never.
So what does this all mean? We have covered the actual structure of the clearing system, the math behind the invisible downgrade traps, the liquidated damages penalty, and the silent siphons like leases and reserves.
It is a lot to take in.
It is. As an operator, what should you do this week if you are staring at a new contract on your desk?
The directive is simple and actionable. Do not accept a PDF that you cannot edit.
Okay.
Ask the processor to send the proposed contract as an editable document. Redline every single clause that does not match the verbal pitch.
And if they complain?
You push back.
Right.
If the pricing model is not named, write in Interchange Plus. If there is a liquidated damages clause, strike a line straight through it.
And whatever questions you ask, get the answers attached as an addendum to the agreement.
Exactly. An email from the sales rep promising to waive a gateway fee does not override the signed contract. You have to get it into the actual document.
Before we wrap up, I want to leave you with a final provocative thought that really puts this rigid 3 to 5 year timeline into perspective.
Oh, this is an interesting angle.
We were looking at another article from the Nilson Report. This one about American Express. Amex is the first card company to announce they will officially protect cardholders against errors made by AI agents.
Which is huge.
The payment industry is going through a massive digital transformation right now. We are entering an era where automated AI agents will be initiating transactions, buying software subscriptions, and booking travel on behalf of users.
It is a massive shift in how authorization actually works at a technical level.
It really makes you wonder. When automated AI agents are running the purchasing and potentially causing entirely new complex types of chargebacks because an algorithm went rogue, how will these rigid 5-year legacy contracts adapt?
They are not built for it.
Right. If you are locked into a boilerplate agreement from 2024, it certainly does not account for AI-initiated transaction disputes. Will your auto-renewing paperwork protect your business, or will it tie your hands in a rapidly changing digital economy?
The rules of clearing and settlement are going to have to evolve drastically to handle AI authorization. But your current contract will still enforce whatever terms you signed years ago.
You want a clean, visible break. A clear understanding of what you are paying and what happens if you need to leave.
Exactly.
But if you do not read the fine print, you are stepping back into the murky waters, letting the processor dictate the terms of your survival.
You have to protect your business.
Take control of your paperwork, read your contracts carefully, and do not be afraid to use the red pen. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive.